Hello and welcome to the King Hero IndyCar podcast with Kirby and Justin. Kirby, how are you?
I'm doing well, Justin. How about you?
Basking in the limelights of our record ratings for this podcast.
Well, that's good news. Good news.
Yeah.
It must be, we must be making an impact across the board because obviously the owners have been listening to our podcast.
At least Michael Andretti is.
Well, Michael Andretti and some unknown owner in that racer.com article about the gang up on Penske, they claimed that one of the owners said, why don't you just sell to, explore a sale to Liberty Media to help us.
Yeah. I wonder who came up with that idea.
Well, it was heard here first, I think, wasn't it?
Kirby, let's get into that later, shall we?
All right, sure. As long as we're not going to talk about Formula One.
Well, there may be a little bit of Formula One in there at some point. Kirby, I'd like to start off with Lee Diffy. Lee Diffy told John Bon Jovi in an interview his wife's hall pass was John Bon Jovi. Did you catch that?
I did hear that, and I think John Bon Jovi thanked her or thanked him or something,
acknowledged it in some way. Kirby, I have a couple of questions about this. First of all, so if that's his wife's hall pass, who is Lee Diffy's hall pass?
I don't think I want to know.
It might be John Bon Jovi. They might have the same one. The other question I had, Kirby, is do you have a hall pass? Is there somebody that you're free to philander with if that situation could ever arise?
Funny enough, that discussion has not come up in this household.
It's not funny enough because I think if you're smart, that conversation never comes up.
Right.
I don't think that will ever go anywhere good.
Not if the husband brings up the subject, that's for sure.
No. At the worst, it can be a no foul, but it could certainly degenerate.
Yes. So. Yeah. Marriage advice here at King Hero Podcast.
You can get it all here. You can get everything you need to know. A lot of girlfriends / marriages in the off-season, Kirby, that were highlighted during the broadcast.
Yeah, one driver who definitely shouldn't bring it up with his wife is Rinus Vicky. His wife appears to be a serious boxer.
Yeah, and model. Boxer / supermodel. lots of pictures of girlfriends and wives I noticed in the opening broadcast. I can only attribute that to they're trying to bring like some of the Formula One-esque glamour to the scene.
Well, I mean, it was presented as here's the changes that happened over the offseason. They started out with changes in driver lineups, and they went on to changes in driver lineups.
Yeah, candid shots of their wives / girlfriends. For both overachiever, hitting out of his league, and just sheer quality, Felix Rosenquist has my vote.
No Mex fever, baby.
Yes, beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. Kirby, the other thing that, I don't know, you can't sit there and not think about it during the entire broadcast is the demise of the Bus Brothers.
I must admit, I didn't think about it once till I started reading all the stories after the race was over. I think we'll survive that too.
Yeah, I mean, dominating performance by Newgarden. He's clearly attributed it to, well, I think he did give Chevy a shout out, which to me, it appears that Chevy might have the upper hand at this point. Early days, right? But it certainly kind of felt that way watching it. He also attributed just his lack of social, basically abandoning social media and focusing solely on his racing.
It's not only social media. He had a video production company that he closed down and let his partner move on without him. Don't know what else he shut down. Obviously shut down the Bus Brothers. And he and Scotty M are mere colleagues and not best buds anymore, I guess. But, it sounds like he did.
I love how that got spun. I mean, we're not going to be friends anymore. It's over.
I think the press is probably pushing on that a little too much. He did a lot of things besides his social media to try to simplify his life and get rid of distractions that were maybe causing him to stress out a little bit over the last few years.
Well, it was a dominating performance, Curb. I guess that will segue into there were basically two open wheel races over the weekend. One was St. Pete, and the other was the Formula One race in Saudi Arabia. I think we should just talk about both of them. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about both of them. Everybody else does that, and we're kind of looking for beyond the tape, if you will. I mean, the overwhelming thing you can say about both of them was that they were some of the worst races I've seen in some time.
I can't comment on the Formula One race. The only thing I know about that race is Ollie Bierman, Ollie Bierman, Ollie Bierman. That's all.
And that's all there was.
And the IndyCar race at St. Pete was, so I've complained about fuel saving for a long time, and I think it was the epitome of what fuel saving does to you, does to the spectacle of an IndyCar race when you pretty much start fuel saving on lap three and don't stop for the rest of the race. Where the pit stops or where the yellow flags fell didn't really help the matter. They usually seem to fall at the early edge of a pit window, so that left them with long pit windows to follow. You would like to see them do something to anticipate that problem ahead of time and add five laps, drop five laps. I've heard another suggestion where you change the size of the fuel cell so that you don't have to change the number of laps. You just have a smaller or bigger fuel cell.
Save something. Some weight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could save some weight on the with all the other parts that are being added. So, yeah, it was disappointing from that standpoint. Looked like a beautiful day and a great event. You know, certainly fast cars and fast drivers, but the wheel-to-wheel action was definitely lacking this year.
It was really lacking, especially the first part of the race. And really, the only thing, only on restarts and a difference in tires made for any passing at all. Otherwise, you know, it was starting to look very Formula 1-esque. This guy's 1 second behind that guy, who's 1 second behind that guy, who's 1 second behind that guy, right? And I know the tires, because they were built for a heavier car, also didn't help being harder. But I don't buy that argument exactly, in the sense that the racing league should be looking at harder tires to begin with, so there's less marbles being produced, than just have everybody race on harder tires in the first place. But no matter how you slice it, it was not a great show. It was not what we've become accustomed to. And it seems to me, and I know it seems to you, is that the easiest way to assure that you're going to have a decent show is make the race at a distance. I obviously, you can't account for where yellows and when yellows and how many and all that, but take your best shot and then probably easier just to add laps or reduce the size of the fuel tank, also to your point, but add laps to where, like, it almost doesn't matter how many yells there are, that nobody's going to get there.
Or I mean, you know, this is a 100 lap race. You could have made it 90 and you probably would have achieved the same thing, wouldn't you?
Maybe the same thing, you know, and there might be TV considerations and all these kind of things, but right. You kind of get the feeling that if a guess was made, it was a bad guess. And if a guess wasn't made, then somebody should really just look at this and say, where do we have the best chance of not letting this devolve into a fuel savings race and make that the distance?
You know me, I've been complaining about it for a long time, so I agree wholeheartedly. If a yellow falls 30 laps from the finish and they got a 28 lap fuel tank or whatever, then yeah, somebody's going to try it and I get it. And there's nothing you can do about it. But when the announcers on TV, who are supposed to be trying to make it, you know, entertaining and hold the attention of the viewers,
on lap
start talking about fuel saving on lap two or three. It's like, yeah, I'll just get in line here and save fuel for the first half of this race. So why don't you all go have dinner and come back in a couple hours and see the end. Very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, Kirby had to be excited about the race nevertheless, because Marty Schneider right back in there.
Pumping iron with those dumbbells. He was at mid-season form, start off the season.
Here's the suggestion. Make the race 110 laps and give me less of Marty Schneider pumping weights, and we're in good shape.
Can I go back to the tires for a second, though? If it's such a big deal that the weight of the hybrid piece of the motor is missing, and therefore the car weighs less and it doesn't activate the tires fast enough and blah, blah, blah. Couldn't they just put a ballast in there?
Yeah, they could. As I told you, I don't buy into that argument. I would argue that the race should be racing on harder tires to begin with.
Well, I mean, I would think it would allow you to be more aggressive because your tires could stand the abuse more, right? But the only argument that might make a little sense is it takes them longer to come in, supposedly, because they built them for a heavier car. If you want it to degrade the way you expected it to degrade like you have in prior years, then stick 100 pounds of ballast in there, whatever the weight is, that would, you know, simulate, you know, when the hybrid piece is installed later in the year.
Yeah, but you don't even have to do that, Kerb. They could have dialed more downforce into the cars and, you know, and had a setup that activated the tires quicker.
I mean, that's all true too.
Yeah. You don't have to add weight to a car that already weighs too much. The whole argument's, again, I'm repeating myself, is stupid. If they just everybody ran the same harder tire, then everybody's on the same harder tire, and there's less marbles on the offside. So, and they were still complained about the marbles, right? They were still talking about all the marbles, you know. But everybody's on the same tires. The lack of passing wasn't about the tires. I don't like that blame. I don't like that being blamed. The lack of passing was the stupid fuel savings. So, Kerb, like I said, I don't want to spend much time on the race. I mean, anything that you can draw from this race that you think will extend further to the season without just stating the obvious?
No, nothing. It's all pretty obvious, I think. Yeah, people are kind of dogging on Alex Palou a little bit, being kind of absent for most of the weekend, but he actually finished higher here this year than he did the first at St. Pete last year. So, in theory, his title defense is off to a stronger start than last year. Penske certainly stated his intentions. They expect to be there this year, and so we'll have to see what he can do.
My two cents, again, I realize a lot of this is a statement of the obvious, but just things that maybe we didn't expect going into this race and may end up being a theme for the rest of the year. A little bit of surprising performance out of like a Carpenter via Arenas VK and the Ferrucci via Foyt. Maybe those teams will be more competitive than you and I would have given them credit for a couple weeks ago. I think you could say the same for Juncos Hollander. Grosjean was fast most of the weekend. He still pulled a Grosjean, but he was fast almost all weekend. And Andretti seems like they're going to have a good program this year. They don't appear to be lost, I wouldn't say. And Ganassi, you know, not a great weekend for them. They clearly kind of missed it with the tire difference, and nowhere near saying they're lost. I think they'll get it back very quickly, but it was a bad weekend for them. But I don't think there's much to be drawn from that other than it was a bad weekend for them. But some of these other teams might be, and drivers may be, a little bit more competitive than I think we were originally giving them credit for.
Well, you know, I mean, Andretti was the only team to have two drivers in the Fast Six, I think. Forgettable weekend for Ray Hall, forgettable weekend. You know, Tom Blomqvist, I know he's not nearly as experienced as Rosenqvist, but a little bit disappointing, I think, all in all, considering how well the rest of the Andretti and Andretti adjacent drivers did.
Agreed.
I wanted to clean something up from our preview show because we listed off five to seven candidates, I think, to miss out on the leader circle. 22 out of the 27 entrants will earn leader circle money for next year. But I wanted to point out that each team is limited to only three leader circle entries. So right off the bat, Chip Ganassi's, you know, fourth and fifth cars are going to be non-leader circle cars, even if they finish in the top 22.
Oh, good point.
So if you assume that Ganassi cars will get in, then it's only going to be three other drivers that miss out on the leader circle instead of the five we talked about at the previous show. So it looks like it's up in the air. It looks like it could be a very competitive race this year for leadership.
Kerb, the other similarity, besides it was kind of a boring race between the Formula One race and the IndyCar race, was that what was going on outside of the racing was in some ways way more intriguing than what was going on with the racing.
Is this still all about Christian Horner and Red Bull at
Formula One race? The Formula One saga, and we don't have to get into that. You know, that's not our area to cover. But the Formula One saga with Horner and Marco and Josh Verstappen and Max Verstappen, it is fascinating, particularly in light of their just absolute dominance so far. Suffice to say, there's a lot of internal wrangling going on at Red Bull, which seems to be precipitated primarily by Christian Horner's attempt to buy the team sometime in the last 12 months. But again, no need to go into that. IndyCar's version of this, I think, came out during St. Pete, which is Michael Andretti basically putting it all out there that he thinks Penske's not willing, or you know, hasn't been willing to pony up the dough to support the series in the way it needs to be supported, and that the hybrid fiasco has been costly and pointless, and that changes need to be made. And he did not hold back, and Penske then kind of fired back with, you know, what he wants to do. What do you make it all, Kerb? It was pretty interesting that Michael Andretti, who I am in full support of, by the way, on his comments, kind of came out there and fired a few shots.
I don't know that I necessarily saw a response from Penske over the weekend. I just saw.
Well, I think the response was, I'm not going to sell the series. I want to give it to my grandkids.
It's not like we haven't had our own criticisms, and a lot of them were similar to the ones that Andretti stated. I don't know that it's great to do it out in public like Andretti did, and I think Chip Ganassi kind of chided him for. IndyCar is doing what they're doing. They think that they are making improvements in whatever marketing metrics that they're following, and that's great. St. Pete weekend was up across the board. Ticket sales, merchandise sales, so on and so forth. So hopefully everything's, you know, better than feared. But you were pushing over the offseason and maybe late last year about the franchise system. That seems to have maybe been the flashpoint for this frustration, because Penske's first proposal obviously went over like a lead balloon. We've seen over my lifetime and our years following the sport how well it goes when all 10 owners or however many owners there are in the series get involved in trying to make decisions. And so it's going to get messier before it gets better, I think. You know, it was interesting. I think they formed a couple of committees, one committee to work on growth and marketing initiatives, another committee to work on the franchise system that they hope to agree to. Maybe those outlets will help IndyCar actually achieve results, as well as satisfy the owners and the fans and their incessant critic in the press.
All right, Kerb, I listened to that.
Biting your tongue?
Yep, it's almost okay. Off.
Right.
So I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but every once in a while you need to do it. I'm going to quote somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This case, your buddy Mark Miles.
Because
I think this quote's very telling, and to me, this is the core of the issue going on right now. So, to quote Mark Miles, he says, "We're engaging people to move things along. We're looking for their thoughts and ideas on what has to happen, and there's a lot of different ways to put investment money together. It doesn't necessarily mean Roger has to write a check. First, we have to figure out what moves the needle, and everyone has an idea. Now we've had all the conversations we've needed to have this weekend, and we're moving on." 90% of that is just throwing out platitudes. Is that the right way to put it, Kerb?
A word salad, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, meaningless, just kind of filling in, like a Pato Award interview.
Well, I might debate you on that a little bit, but finish your thoughts.
With exception of one part, which I think is, to me, at the crux of all this, and that's where he starts talking about there's different ways to put investment money together, and it doesn't necessarily mean that Roger has to write the check. And I think, boom, right there it is. Roger doesn't want to write the check. And I'm not pointing a finger and saying you have to. But you know, that's what Andretti said. He says, look, man, if you're going to only want to put in $20 million, you got to put in $100 million to make this thing really go. And I believe he's correct in his saying that. Now, one of the reasons the whole franchise system fell flat is because even the $20 million they wanted the owners to pay for, you know, from Andretti's standpoint, right? And and that does seem a little ludicrous because they don't own the series. So
even Chip, who was largely defending Penske, when they asked him about that, he said, well, my response was that I've been paying for 20 or 30 years now. I don't need to pay you $1 million now.
So I think it's really comes down to Penske doesn't write the check. And we've seen this. They haven't hired a marketing person. I mean, which is insane. That's all that any of this is about. The rest of it's just kind of, he doesn't want to write the check to get it to where I would say the average fan wants to see it. He's hoping it all just kind of comes organically, grows organically and slowly maybe. And he's kind of fine with doing that rather than, you know, trying to inject this thing with a bunch of money now and seeing. I think he wants to do organic growth. And I think the other people want to, you know, inject a bit of steroids into the growth. And I think that's the fundamental difference in the attitudes here. That's a hard one to get around.
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. And
that's what Mark Miles said.
Right. He's obviously been a successful businessman. Now, here he's got to entertain people. He's in the entertainment business. And so we've questioned how well his experience translates to that.
So let me just stop you right there. Right. I want to use an example. I want to just interject something that you can continue on. Right.
Yeah.
Look at what Netflix did. They spent billions on content. People were like, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're burying the business. And look how that has come back to them. And they are in the entertainment business. Go on.
Well, and a lot of people are emulating Netflix's investment, and it may not come out so well for them.
No, but they won. They got in there. They spent the money, and they won.
Right. I'm defending him, but I want to agree with you, too. I mean, when Mark Miles says people get upset that we're not investing in our series the way that other series with billion-dollar TV contracts invest in theirs, you know, you just got to sit back and say, it's a chicken and egg thing here, right?
Yeah! Three in a row. Boom.
You know, again, we've talked about NASCAR over the winter, things they do, the stupid race in the Coliseum, the money they spend to go to Chicago, the money they spend $5 million to get their show on Netflix instead of on the CW. You know, whereas IndyCar supposedly got paid to get their show on the CW, but what good did that $100,000 do them or whatever they got paid for it being on there, right? I mean, so yeah, I still have doubts and questions about their choices and where they decide to invest their money. And maybe they don't have the money to invest, and maybe that's what Maybe Penske's being the disciplined businessman and not going to make those kind of investments without a high likelihood of return.
He might just be too conservative for the entertainment industry, Curb.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. And
so in which case, he should turn it over to somebody else. I agree with Andretti. You said there was nothing new there, Curb. Did you know that Andretti and a group tried to, you know, have a run at the Speedway in the series?
I think I'd heard that once before, yeah.
Okay, I had not heard that before. That was news to me.
And I had heard before the Liberty Media had approached Penske about selling the series and had been briskly rebuffed.
What did you think of Andretti's engine proposal?
It feels like I've heard before that
it's not possible.
Cannot possible because they don't have the tight confines in their chassis that IndyCar does. But I mean, you know, Honda's idea that you take a standard block and then everybody just puts their own electronics on it would seem viable. It would seem to be a similar avenue to follow. And I was going to ask you, somebody who was asked about that proposal, and they said they pointed out that you know, IMSA also has balance of performance. It isn't perfect in IMSA either. That's why they do BOP, and they'd probably go over like a lead balloon in IndyCar.
I had similar thoughts and feelings about it. I do think that there's a solution along those lines where you give engine suppliers more flexibility there probably is something along those lines in terms of a solution. But I'm going to say the same thing I've been saying for a long time. I don't think people really care so much about the engines. The chassis are a different deal.
Well, the manufacturers care about the engines, right? So you got to keep them interested working on something that matters to them. And so, and if this engine is that old, obviously Honda's frustrated. And, you know, Michael can complain about the money that was an effort that was spent on the
hybrid.
Sorry. I keep wanting to say hypercar on the hybrid, but his manufacturer is the one that pushed that, right? I mean, he's tight with Honda and they're the ones that wanted that. So he can complain about IndyCar all he wants, but I think they were largely satisfying Honda's desires.
Yeah. Well, Honda looks gone to me, man. It looks like they're for sure in NASCAR, and I think they're gone.
Well, I don't know. I hope not, and I think if they wanted to be gone, they wouldn't be talking about it so much. That's a big investment to try to break into to NASCAR.
You care to take a bet?
No, I don't want to bet. But
I wouldn't either. They're going. No. They're going. I'll tell you right now, they're going to NASCAR.
I'll be disappointed to see him. If it means they leave IndyCar, I'll be disappointed to see him leave.
Well, I didn't say that, but they're going to NASCAR. Done deal. Okay. Kurt, believe it or not, I'm done.
You're done already?
Yep. So unless you got anything to bring up here, I'm out.
You want to talk about the Firestone Pit Stop Performance Award?
No.
Okay, well, I want to point out something anyway. the leader after one race, the fastest.
Willpower.
It's not team. Willpower. Very good.
Second place, Alexander Rossi.
Where'd you find this information?
An Alexander Rossi tweet.
Oh, really? Okay. But what interested me was 21st out of 23 cars that qualified for the award this week. Scott Dixon's. And I think he finished second last year in the overall season-long championship. So I'm not aware of him having any particular problems when he was pitting. So strangely disappointing performance from that team this week.
Okay. What else you got? Not much there when you're unable to talk about Formula One, is there?
I listened to one blowhard podcast today, and they had the temerity to suggest that those car owners that are ganging up on Penske, they could just take their ball and go home and start their own series. They don't need Penske. They could go start their own series. And I about stopped my car and pulled my car over and jumped out and yelled. I mean, I couldn't believe.
Really?
That they said that with a straight face. Yeah.
As if 1996 never happened.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, who's got the Speedway and who's got the 500 and who doesn't? Didn't we learn this lesson already?
Oh, my God. Kirby, you are a man of integrity. I've always said that, but I almost don't believe that.
I'm telling you. And then the next long drive you take and you listen, you'll hear it.
I might run off the road. I'll have to make sure I'm going to.
Yeah, make sure you're not on the mountain pass.
Yeah, jeez. You never know.
How do you feel? Let's see. We probably won't do another show before thermal. So how do you feel about thermal?
I'm ambivalent.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling that maybe the rest of the world is too.
Yeah, I mean, there won't be any fuel saving, that's for sure. But other than that, I think it'll be interesting to see if the format sells.
I hope it turns out. I'll watch. I hope it turns out to be extremely interesting. I don't really understand it. Maybe you do. I haven't really spent the time to kind of look and see how it's going to work and what it's going to do. It all seems very vague. And as a guy who follows the series pretty closely, if it's vague to me, that means it's super vague to anybody else, exactly what's going to go down there.
It's just qualifying races. They're going to split it up into one race with 14 cars and one race with 13 cars. So I think it's the top six in each race will advance to the final, and they'll have 12 guys going for $1 million.
Okay.
There'll be no pit stops. The races will be like 20 laps each or something like that. And
so it'll be like a Formula One sprint race.
If you say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Winner gets $1 million. Winner gets $1 million to split with charity. Second place gets 500 grand to split with charity, so on and so forth. So.
And tickets are no longer $2,000.
No, the county has given them permission to have more fans at the race.
Yeah.
To their credit, they actually sent $1,500 credits right back to people right away when the news came out. So.
Well, anybody who bought a $2,000 ticket almost certainly has a lawyer on call.
Yeah. I fear there'll be more yapping by talking heads during the time they're on the air than there will be actual racing. And but we'll see. Hopefully it'll surprise. And as you said, I think when it first came out, at least you're trying something a little different.
I did finish Drive to Survive.
And did you stay awake through the whole thing?
No, it was actually one of the things that put me to sleep, but it was terrible. I mean, it was a very, very bad season. I think this year with all of what's going on will probably be way more interesting, but no, this was just terrible. Just awful.
Even Danica couldn't elevate it this year.
She added, as she, in my opinion, as she always does with broadcasts, added nothing. I started getting mad about it, and you know, my wife started going on this tangent about just short of calling me a misogynist.
Right.
And I explained to her, and I think, you know, and as patiently as I could, my reasons for why I didn't think she had a part in, you know, participating in that show.
Doesn't she work on Formula One broadcasts?
Well, I didn't think she should be on there, in my opinion.
Okay, you know? But I mean, the one gets her onto Drive to Survive, I would think. Explains why she's on Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I guess. Her tangent was a little bit more like, you know, why are you against her? You know, she's just a woman driver. And it's like, it's nothing about her being a woman driver. It's everything about all the credit and adulation and money that she's been able to bank off of being, you know. Again, I've said this 1,000 times too. I'll repeat it 1,000 times. I'm sure if her and I went out to the track tomorrow, she would dust my ass in any vehicle, anyway, right? No, right. I'm not going to argue that. She's a professional. She made it to the top levels of racing. I have respect for all that. Anybody that drives the Indy 500, I respect on some level. So no issues there. But the reality is you got to be judged against your peers. And when you judge her against her peers, she wasn't much. In the best equipment, with the best financing and everything, she still wasn't much. And I don't think there's any getting around that. And that doesn't make me a misogynist. That just makes me like a realist, in my opinion.
Well, I would say she suffered by the trend of IndyCar moving away from ovals and back to road and street courses. That really was the end of her relevance, I think, in open wheel racing.
That's true, too.
All right. Well, do we have a sponsor this week?
Hash Hive, coming soon.
And X handle?
At Hiro IndyCar, at HIRO IndyCar.
And that's it. So tune in at noon next week from Sunday to catch the race at Thermal, and then go back into hibernation for another 4 to 6 weeks till the Long Beach race.
Yeah, and we might do the same with our podcast.
Right, so just a little bit of preparation there for our loyal listeners, whoever you are.
Yeah, and by the way, thanks for you know, for the people joining in and stuff. Yeah, this probably won't be a great one. Trust me, we're usually better. But thanks for all of our new listeners, and it's been encouraging to see. And I don't know, I was on the phone with the IRS 5 hours today, so I'm in a bad mood, so it's hard to be jovial.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and enjoy Thermal, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.